Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's Buckle Movie Club.
Welcome to Buckle Movie Club. I'm your host, Ethan, here today with my co-hosts,
Thatch
and Shamu.
And we're here to talk about Pokemon Jirachi Wishmaker, Pokemon Movie 6. So, this is a much maligned movie in the franchise, at least in the Poke community. So strap in for some very strong opinions about a lot of things that happen. The movie. Wishmaker, 2004... released straight to DVD in the States. It got like a limited release in some places, but I challenge you to find anybody who went and saw it in theaters.
It's impossible. This is the first Pokemon movie that went straight to DVD. Even Pokemon Heroes had a limited release in movie theaters in North America. And then it, like, 6 months later came to DVD.
I gotta imagine that like theater run is literally somebody popping in the DVD and walking away and be like, "Yeah, it'll play."
Oh yeah, no, like I actually saw, this is a little off topic for the sixth movie. I did see movie 14, if that's the one with Reshiram in it or whatever.
I'm not sure because I haven't seen all those yet.
I saw that one in theaters actually. Back in like 2011, they did a limited release, and so it was literally just like one theater, one time you go see it, and then you're done. But like I think that's what happened.
So it was like a one night screening or something.
Yeah, one afternoon screening because it was for the children's.
For the kids.
Yeah,
they exactly. Did it for the kids. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Well, great. I didn't see this when it came out.
I did not either. I knew about it only because they had it in the Colosseum bonus disc that you got for pre-ordering Pokemon Colosseum.
Oh, really?
You could watch the trailer for this movie.
Oh, just the trailer?
Yeah, just the trailer. I mean, they're not going to give me the movie for free.
No, of course not.
Because it's such a cinematic masterpiece. Come on.
Yeah, you can't give away stuff this good for free. This
exactly.
is like, you got to charge.
Exactly. They had to advertise to me in my my Jirachi Wishmaker disc.
Mm-hmm.
To go watch the Wishmaker movie. And the trailer, let me tell you, makes it look more hype than it actually is.
I think I actually got this when it came out on DVD. Probably not day of or anything like that, but I remember watching this when I was younger, like fairly close to release.
That, I mean, it could have happened. I don't know. Your parents had money, probably.
Sure. Well, like $20 for a Pokemon movie, and that was like one of the things I was actually into when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Not much stuff I was into, but yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah,
so
I just remember this movie. Like, yeah,
I personally didn't have like exposure to this until Puckle. I believe it was one of the Puckle movie nights. I don't know how far we made it in like that series. I think we pretty much jumped around, like in the original run of Puckle movie nights. Like it would just be like, what are we gonna watch this month? Whatever I feel like watching this month. So
one day you watch Digimon. So
I did, yeah. There's that Yu-Gi-Oh is still gonna come at some point, like the like a Yu-Gi-Oh watch, specifically like the first movie. But I digress. So if we want to jump right into the movie, so it's worth noting that this is the first Generation 3 movie, which means that we get Max and May for the first time in the movie franchise, which is so, so terribly exciting.
I mean, it would be exciting if they were given a good movie.
I don't know about you guys, but my stance on Max is very much, please no, please God no.
I think that's generally everybody's like stance on Max. Like,
yeah,
if you were to compare like the two sibling characters that travel with Ash throughout the anime, I don't know how familiar you are with the more recent adventures of Ash Ketchum in Kalos, Ethan.
I've seen a couple episodes.
But I think I personally, in my opinion, like Max is kind of a scrub compared to Bonnie. Like, yeah. Bonnie is like way cooler. She's way up on things she needs to do. And I don't know. Max just seems like the little brother that wants to do things, and he's just kind of there.
Oh, he's so obnoxious.
But Bonnie is like legitimately a character in the X and Y anime.
She actually does stuff.
Yeah, well, she's a character. You know what I mean? She's
like, she has like an arc.
She doesn't really have an arc, but she's like, she does things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like Max, who's just like, I want to be friends with Pokemon, and when they let him be friends with a Pokemon, it's like a 6-year-old with a kitten. You know?
Yeah, but how old is he supposed to be?
I don't know. Less than 10.
I guess he has to be less than 10, doesn't he?
Yeah, less than 10, apparently.
I guess that probably makes more sense.
Probably like 5.
I wouldn't say 5. I'd gander 6 or 7, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so are you guys ready to move on to the story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the movie opens with Ash and Co. are on their way to a festival for the Millennium Comet, which is this comet that comes around once every 1,000 years. And so they walk to the fairgrounds, and when they get there, they find that nothing's set up yet, so they think that they've gone to the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, so let's just camp here for the night. And then they watch as all of these trucks roll in and set up the festival, like all of the booths and stuff. And
oh, can we talk about how technologically advanced this carnival is?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's a carnival that like people are, like they have these crazy contraptions that set up rides, you know, like these magnificent, like, I don't know how you describe it, but they're giant machines that set up rides and stuff for the curators or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
But if this is a festival that occurs once every 1,000 years, how come people have things designed specifically for this festival? Like, how come vendors who are selling things related to this festival if it never ever happens?
It could be general festival stuff.
For other festivals too and stuff.
Also, you don't know how many comets there are. There could be like millions of comets, man. Just flying by once every week.
But this is the most specialist one. The most
This is the most specialist one. That's true. But they just have comet like souvenirs.
How I think of it's like maybe like a craft show or some sort of like trade show or whatever.
Yeah,
you have
like
all
that.
These different people gather to this one section to do business. But after that, they go to a different area to do business, and it's kind of how they work. They just go somewhere to like sell their wares, and this is just the most popular one.
Do you think they run a circuit? Like they go around every year, and like their career is just going to different garbage like traditions and stuff, and hawking their wares.
People do that.
That's the thing.
I guess that's what carnivals are or whatever.
Yeah, essentially it's like what carnivals are, like a craft, like they have these things like back in my hometown. There's a Merlinite would actually be very familiar with this. There's a festival in my background, my hometown, and it's literally just a craft show, and these people like go around all over the place, you know, all over the Midwest to different craft show after craft show. And then I mean they have carnival rides and stuff I mean, it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay, so that makes sense then.
Yeah.
It turns out I'm wrong. This movie's amazing.
Let's not go that far.
It gets better.
Okay, so the rides get set up, and like one of the people setting up their booth uses actual magic to do it. As in, like, so she's a magician lady, mm-hmm. and she summons these giant balls, and then, or I guess they're like balloons, and they pop, and then the different parts of her booth come out of them, which seems needlessly complicated for the part of that nobody's ever going to see. Like, she's always at an 11. She's always a showman, even when nobody's watching. So the crew walks around the carnival for a while. They play bumper cars, and Brock hits on a girl while they're there. Which, when they get into the bumper cars, Ash runs into a car that nobody's in and is really excited about it. Which is weird. I thought that was, like, you couldn't have just thrown a person in there. I don't know.
It's weird. The whole thing's weird.
But yeah, so as they're walking around, Team Rocket stalks them for a while. Like, they're hiding behind, like, a pole and watching them. But I think Team Rocket actually has a really, like, sad arc in this movie, which is that when you first see them, they're dressed as clowns, and they're talking about how much they love being clowns, and they're like, oh man, this is a great job, it seems like a lot of fun. But their obsession with Pikachu doesn't allow them to, like, pursue this career that would be potentially really rewarding for them. So they drop what they're doing and loving just to go try and steal somebody's Pokemon, which I think is sad.
I mean, I feel like it's one of the, I don't know. Team Rocket's got some gusto. I'm really surprised they're not, like, in depression yet.
Oh, like, yeah.
After 20 years of chasing Pikachu.
They probably just lost their mind at this point, though.
I mean, apparently. Like, if like, you were, no imagine you were in a job where you had one task, which was to catch some Pokemon, right? And you constantly failed at it for 20 years. You would not keep that job, but Team Rocket, I gotta give them some props. You know, they have not, like, spiraled into depression yet.
But they've spiraled in the sky over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
They keep spiraling up instead of down.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are spiraling out of control again! okay, so they go to a magic show. And at the magic show, the magician does this trick where a curlier goes into a cage?
It's like a box.
Yeah, so Curlier goes into a box, and he's like, ah, and does magic stuff. And then in the place of the Curlier is now a big rock.
Oh, yes, the classic turn the Pokemon into the rock magic trick.
And everyone's like, whoa, what a trick! And I'm like, it's just a rock.
To me, I go, why did you turn this Pokemon into a rock? Like, it'd be more impressive to me if, like, the Pokemon was just gone. You know what I mean? I'm left with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
Like, why did you, like, I understand it's a plot device, so, like, Jirachi, who is in the rock, connects to Max.
Uh-huh.
Like, in the audience, because, like, the next step is the rock, like, calls out to people and wants to befriend Max and stuff like that, but whatever.
Make a wish, Max.
Yeah, exactly, and it's just like, okay, so this is definitely just a plot device to get our heroes involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really bad plot device.
It makes no sense.
No, not at all.
There's a bit of reason on their end for it, as I can tell. Because they need Jirachi awake for the villain to make his plan work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so bringing it to a big mass of people to get it to find one person that it wants to be friends with, which is a requirement for it to wake up for some reason.
Yeah, but how does he know this if it only happens once every 1,000 years?
There's just probably research, okay?
He's just hoping. Just prays.
There could, like, be more than one
probably work. Whatever.
There could be more than one Jirachi.
That's a possibility. You never know.
You never know.
But as far as I can tell, it's just like, he's just hoping.
So
just, like, roll the die, see what we get.
I mean, I guess it works, so I'm the fool here.
Yeah, apparently.
My vision is too limited. I need to look beyond. Okay, so the rock calls out to Max. I'm going to refer to it as the rock, by the way, not the crystal. It's the rock. So the rock reaches out to Max at the show, and he runs out of the stage, much to the embarrassment of, like, everybody in the party. You know what I mean? Because I would hate to be the person sitting next to Max when he runs up on stage, because that's the most embarrassing thing ever. You made a fool of yourself, yeah. Max.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Pretty much.
So Ash is concerned about like, he's like, hey, Ash runs up after Max, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? Are you okay? And, but the magicians work this into their act, which is a really bro move, I'll admit. It's like, again, to save this kid the embarrassment, yeah. They're like, we're gonna, you guys are magicians too, blah, 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 which is also stupid. It makes no sense. Like, nobody
yep.
buys that.
It gets really bad, like, yeah. really quick.
It does.
There's a lot of character actions that just are completely baffling in this movie.
There's a lot of character actions and a lot of things that just happen in general that are, like, it's kind of an acid trip. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's 12 hours of looking at patterns on a wall. Right.
Well, I mean, like, there's just so many disconnects in the plot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, like, it has its moments, but, like, it's the plot, like, to get from one action to another. It's like very little thought was put into it. Like, this is Star Wars: A Phantom Menace. We wrote one draft.
There's definite laziness in this movie.
Yeah,
I would go so far as to say that this is, like, in basically every regard, the worst movie so far.
And oh, absolutely!
It looks terrible.
I think this is like the low, and then you start getting some nice bumps and some nice things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely look forward to next movie. Next movie's not that great either, but it's better than this one for sure.
This movie looks like the show, and the purpose of Pokemon movies is that you get a little bit more spectacle in your Pokemon anime.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep. Yeah.
You just kind of lose that, cuz the last one looked good too. Or not too, but, you know, like in like certain sequences, the last movie
looked
pretty
really
good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if you compare this to, like, the first movie and the second movie, which both definitely had, like, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, strong stories. Like, this one's definitely, it's definitely just like an anime, like an extended anime episode.
For sure.
And the other ones, you definitely feel something grandiose about them. And maybe that's because, like, in this one, all we have in terms of, like, legendary Pokemon here, the only thing that we have in terms of that is just Jirachi, and Jirachi's kind of not worth waiting for.
He's also terrible, but we'll get to that.
Oh, he's a horrible, horrible person.
We'll get to that. So, they work Ash and Max into their act, and they're going to do a trick where Dusclops is going to do... So they put Ash and Max into a box and put a, you know, help me out here.
They put them into a cage or something.
It's a box, and it's pretty much got a trapdoor on it.
Okay, yeah. So they put them into a box,
and then Dusclops blows up the box.
Yeah.
Dusclops is going to use Hyper Beam to blow them away. But, you know, the trapdoor opens in the floor, and they obviously don't get vaporized.
Yeah.
So this implies a level of danger on par with getting a shot.
Yeah, no. There needs to be some kind of consent form signed here.
Yeah.
Like, this was a really extreme trick for them to, like, pull right away.
It might just not work. You know?
Yeah, like, no,
the pneumatics aren't working right that day and they
exactly.
die.
Exactly. It gets, like, jammed or something. Yeah, no, but of course this is a cartoon, so it's okay.
We kind of also glossed over the fact that Max, when they asked their name, Max refer to himself as Max the Great.
Yes,
for some reason
that is true.
Makes no sense.
Max the Great. It's like what? Why?
No, there's a lot of character action, like Ethan said, that just doesn't make any sense.
So this is around the point where I started noticing, like, the horrible lip sync errors in the dub. Like, this is the most egregious offender so far, and that characters will be laughing, and then dialogue that is normal will be going over top of it, like, as if they're not laughing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's a thing that doesn't even really happen in the show at all, which implies, like, a certain level of lack of caring that doesn't even exist in the dub of the show.
Yeah.
Like, now. Or not now, but, like, even during its lowest points, mm-hmm. like, I think the lip flaps matched, you know?
Yep, they did. They did. You're 100% right.
Oh, yeah.
So... Team Rocket steals the rock, and the magicians work it into their act again. Still, I'm not entirely sure why they're doing it now, because they're not trying to save anybody the embarrassment of having run up on stage. Like, these are criminals trying to steal a part of their act.
Yeah.
Why did they do this? I don't understand.
I, It doesn't understand. You have the Team Rocket moment so you can make them blast off, you know?
So, after the show, they reveal, it's like, oh, there's a legend surround. Oh, by the way, they stopped Team Rocket. Who could have guessed?
Yes. Oh, yeah, right.
So, after the show, the magician, Butler, and his assistant, Diane, explain, like, the legend of the rock. It's like, oh, it'll, every 1,000 years, it wakes up and grants wishes. And Max, like, talks to the rock. And then he runs around with it like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's hollering about how he's going to meet Jirachi or whatever. Just big old ugh. Just, in my notes, I have ugh written out because
yep.
Every time Max opens his mouth or is on screen, is it kills a piece of my soul. It, like, saps a bit of life out of me.
Yeah, he's kind of awful.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. He's pretty awful.
So, May buys a wishmaker from a biker dude, who's running a booth. So she gets scammed by this guy. And he's like, if you fold the pieces of this down, you know, one piece every night for 7 days, your wish will be granted. Which kind of loses its luster when you realize that they're going to be interacting with a person who can grant, or not a person, a Pokemon who can grant wishes anyway.
Yeah.
Like, later in the movie, after she's already met Jirachi and he's already started granting wishes, she's still, like, folding this down as if it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then we can talk about what happens at the end and it gets even better. But
so
we also kind of glossed over the Dusclops not knowing Will-O-Wisp, but instead knowing Capitata.
Capitata is Will-O-Wisp, duh.
Of course, but yeah, still.
I guess I missed that part.
Yeah, it's like when did he use it? I think he used it on Team Rocket or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because like, Team Rocket's getting away and he's like, attack the balloon with whatever.
As Will-O-Wisp, but like, why?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the crew are going to sleep at their camp, and Max falls asleep, and then May starts singing. I say singing, which is a very loose term in this sense. She starts, like, humming a lullaby that their mom used to sing to them. But it's not, like, humming. It's like...
It's like you vaguely remember a song, and you try to like, sing it.
Yeah, it's like... song that goes... Do, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
She's doing it for reals.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think that's like the best part of how stupid it is.
The better part is that they all start singing it in a choir.
Oh,
at the end.
Oh my god! Oh god, the cheese. Oh, okay. So,
we'll get to it later.
Her horrible note. I guess they're notes more than even like singing. Wakes up Jirachi. And he comes out of the crystal, but it doesn't really transform in any way. It just glows white and then a huge, like, burst of light from it. And it becomes Jirachi. So I'm not entirely sure the significance of the crystal as a design, because it looks like a different Pokemon should be trapped inside of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's because they needed a rock for some kind of plot device.
It could have been an idol of some kind. Like, it could have been Jirachi, but without features, you know
what
I mean?
Have been, like, the Tesseract, you know? Just, like, a box.
Yeah. I just think they would
That'd be a more impressive magic trick, you know? You just got, like, another box.
There's a box inside my box now!
Yeah, exactly.
It just looks like it has to be something that encases Jirachi to protect it or something. That's what I assume it is. Just to kind of camouflage it as well.
Maybe,
but it's
okay.
Smaller
because
than Jirachi.
They show later on what happens to Jirachi. Which we can do now or later, doesn't matter to me.
Let's do it later. Let's keep going through this plot here. So, none of the crew is fazed at all that they're meeting an actual legend. Like...
Nope.
The odds that this thing that only happens once in 1,000 years actually occurs and you're involved are so low that I feel like they should be completely losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they're just like, oh, hey, Jirachi. Which I thought was strange. So Diane sees them hanging out with Jirachi and she's like, whoa, it woke up. You can stay with us in our camper or whatever for the night. And you start to get the idea it was their plan the whole time. They've got nefarious purposes right
now. Obviously they do. Who just hands you a rock like that and is just like, oh yeah, I don't want to use this for myself at all.
Here, kid, take this rock.
Here, take this legendary Pokemon, or this rock that's supposed to be a legendary Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because they know it's Jirachi, and they give it to them, so it's like, why would you do that?
Now's a good time to mention that Jirachi's voice is the worst thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Pokemon voices that are just, there are a lot of Pokemon voices in these movies that are just awful. Like, Keldeo is definitely the one that comes to mind.
Oh,
but like,
oh God.
Oh, I guess I haven't heard Keldeo's voice. Is it that rough?
Get ready. Get ready. Because he's going to want to fight Kyurem, okay?
Wow. Okay. I'm sure that'll make sense in like a couple months.
It'll make sense if you listen to the normal podcast, because I do that all the time. When anybody like mentions Keldeo, it just comes to my mind.
But Keldeo's so cool. Why would you do this?
The voice that says, fight me, Kyurem!
Oh. Hey, this is Ethan from Puckle Movie Club with a quick commercial break. Just letting you know that if you send an email to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, we will answer your questions. So ask us questions about what we think about movies, tell us what you think about movies, even just send us whatever you're up to. Gmail account is pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip flop.
Okay. So back to the plot. So Max is given the ability to ask for any wish that he could possibly desire, like anything. So, you know, I know it's a no-brainer and it's just like the most stereotypical thing ever, but why wouldn't your first wish be something of substance? And that, like, can benefit humanity?
Because Max is 7.
But even at 7, you should be enough of an idealist that, like...
When I was 7 and I was told you can wish for whatever you want, I probably would have wished either for a Game Boy or a bunch of candy.
Or Pokemon to be real.
Yeah, Pokemon didn't exist when I was 7, I don't think.
You're old.
I know, right?
You're so old that you're married. It's gross.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Max, instead of saving the planet or the environment or anything, decides that he needs candy. And candy he does get. May is like, that's a stupid wish or whatever. And then Max wishes for the problem to go away, and then Meg.
Oh, that's the best thing. That's the best. Can we also talk about how Jirachi does make candy appear, but it's because he's stealing it from somebody?
Yeah, just making it teleport, and the whole vendor's like stall is just empty at the end. It's just like stall.
He can't create things. He can only teleport things from other places.
Yeah. Doesn't even make wishes come true, really.
Yeah, no. He just makes wishes a little bit more accessible. Which, again, doesn't have that luster.
One thing that caught my eye, like, right after he made the wish for the candy, man, Ash just started going, like, ham on each other to get Jirachi to make their own wish come true.
Yeah, these people are fighting over wishes.
That caught me really off guard. Like,
oh, and then Brock wishes for a bunch of girls, which is probably the best wish.
That's definitely in, like, my top 20 wishes that would happen.
Like, out of the wishes that were wished, that was probably the best wish.
Yeah, I don't even know what Ash wished for. Like, May wished for something stupid, but...
These are our heroes. And they're fighting over the means to, like, with which they could save the planet. But instead they're wishing for girls, which is realistic, I guess. So, Jirachi falls asleep again, and it seems that Ash and Co. might have lost their only opportunity to save Earth and create peace on, you know, peace on this planet.
Yeah.
Should we go back to the Jirachi making the problem disappear before we get to...
Oh, that was, yes. Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
true, yeah. I cut it off. So
Max says, "Make the Jirachi make the problem disappear," and then Mei teleports away.
Into a pile of candy. It's pretty cheeky. That's pretty cheeky of Jirachi, though.
Yeah,
right?
Jirachi's a scoundrel. He's got a dark streak to him.
Jirachi is just not a good person.
No, he's a jerk. He's a real jerk.
Yeah, he is.
He's too whimsical.
I don't think he's whimsical. I think he's literally just like a bad person.
Yes, I would say he's a bad person. But moving
like,
on.
I have no empathy for Jirachi throughout this entire movie. Like, none.
Butler later on in the movie tries to use him for something, but at least he's trying to make him do something of substance rather than just make candy appear and teleport girls into piles of candy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the right thing to do, but at least somebody's finally like, "Hey, Jirachi, you're a jerk. Use your powers for something real.
Something significant, not just, like, candy."
Easily the most impact Jirachi has ever had is in the hands of Butler.
True.
Mm-hmm. So Jirachi wakes up again, and he starts hollering about how he's a wishmaker. And he's like, "Oh, wishmaker!" And he just keeps talking about how awesome he is.
Also, Max, like, wait, are we talking about after, like, he sleeps? Are we on day two yet?
I believe so.
Oh, can we talk really quick about how Max is just, like, hanging over Jirachi when Jirachi wakes up?
Oh, yeah, just, like, creepily, like, watching him sleep.
Yeah, like, Max is just, like, watching him sleep. Like, as I said, this is like giving a 7-year-old a kitten. Like, this is the equivalent of that. And the problem is, like, this kitten's a jerk that steals things.
Yes. Correct. So the gang, or Max and Jirachi, hang out at the fair and go on various rides, and nobody notices that the thing that the entire festival is built around is there. I guess they wouldn't really know what Jirachi is. They have no frame of reference.
That's true.
But he's still like a really obscure Pokemon that people would be, "What is that? Like, what? This is who?"
I would think so, yeah.
Because if there are other ones, there would be other legendary Jirachis, you know, or like...
Mm-hmm. No, it's still rare, so somebody would have to say something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes me think about just the rarity of Pokemon inside the anime universe, but I digress. Somebody should write an article about that.
Absolutely.
So Team Rocket watches them from afar and is basically explaining everything wrong with what Ash and Co. are doing, where they're like, they're just hanging out with the Jirachi when they could be granting wishes. And they're like, "It'd be better in our hands." So they're going to try to steal Jirachi. And so for whatever reason, Ash and Brock are helping out in the magic show, right?
Yeah. They replaced Team Rocket at the clowns.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what happened.
While they're there, Mei and Max are, like, helping just around with the set. And a piece of the set falls over, and Mei holds it, and Max goes to help her. And then Jirachi steals Max's glasses, and then this, like, and Max has to go chase down Jirachi to get his glasses back. But he leaves his sister to die, and then the set piece falls over onto her. And I honestly believe that, like, that has enough weight to do some serious damage. I think Max just condemned his sister to death, and Jirachi caused all of this.
Yeah.
So Max is probably... What Jirachi did was stupid, but what Max did was even dumber.
Yeah.
Like, get the hold of the damn thing up with, like, out your glasses or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
no, this whole thing is just... Like we said, this is awful. Like...
That's because he can. Okay.
But Max is over. He gets over it pretty quickly and starts laughing and playing with him again, even though he almost murdered his sister. So Absol attacks.
Yes.
Absol, the mistaken hero.
I guess the one thing I do like about this movie, or like a thing that I can at least kind of appreciate in some ways, is that they don't really explain what Absol's doing at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice, because it's very easy to just have everyone explain exactly what they're doing in a children's movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's cool.
They kind of say, like, oh, something bad's going to happen. Because that's what Absol does.
Right.
It appears before a bad tragedy. Omen. Oh, what's going to happen?
May uses Torchic, and Pikachu does the Pikachu thing, and they fight Absol. And then the magicians trap Absol in the set.
Well, no, before this, Jirachi, like, figures out that Absol, like, knows Jirachi. And so then Jirachi teleports away. He's a jerk once again and teleports Torchic and Pikachu up above the tent and has them fall from a great height. And it's just like, seriously, Jirachi, you are just not a nice person.
Useless.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
So what would happen if they actually broke the tent? They die.
Like, yeah, exactly.
The tent was strong enough to make them bounce.
Yeah. Well, no, it,
I mean, though they're not super substantial, so
they're probably not very heavy, but like, yeah. Still, it's like.
But at the height, it's high enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if they bounce off at the wrong angle and land on their face or something, like it's not responsible.
Oh, it's responsible.
I'm just saying that tent was like, I don't know how tall it was, fairly tall. They would drop about three times the height of that tent. From what you could tell from the angle, it was high up. It wasn't just like, oh, like 10 feet.
I think we shouldn't debate this too much.
Yeah. But so like, the short of it is that Jirachi's a jerk. Yes. So the magicians trap Absol inside the set, and they use their Curlia to mind break it. And, you know, like knock it out.
Yeah.
And Jirachi falls asleep again, which is the only time you're safe anymore is when Jirachi's asleep. So everyone should have breathed a deep sigh of relief then, because this horrible monster is no longer able to ruin our lives.
Seriously, no, like, Jirachi and Max are like a match made in heaven, I swear.
Yeah, a perfect 1-2 punch of garbage. So, I wrote Misty in my notes, what am I doing? May almost forgot her Wishmaker, and which, again, I gotta reiterate, is stupid, because she's constantly hanging out with a Pokemon that can grant wishes.
And the whole Wishmaker
thing. Okay, but there. We've established she's a jerk, so maybe she learned that.
She's like, I gotta wish this Pokemon away forever. Hopefully this one works.
Or maybe she figured out that Jirachi can't actually grant a wish, but she just didn't say it.
Oh, he can't really. He just steals things from other people.
Yeah. Maybe she figured that out, so it's like, oh, I'm just gonna keep doing this then. Maybe I'll get my own wish. I don't know.
So
if I paid money for it, I'd try it out anyways. Hell,
I mean, yeah, it's just a fun thing to do anyway. When in Rome,
I don't remember seeing her pay for it. She's like, I'll take it, and then she just took it.
I mean, that's what you can do when you're a girl. You can just go up, and then people give you things. I don't think that's true.
I wouldn't know.
I would.
Oh,
this part's getting cut out, by the way. So, Butler steals Jirachi and then name drops Groudon for no reason. I mean, it's not no reason. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna use Jirachi to resurrect Groudon, and he's got this crazy machine. Now, I'd like to make note of the fact that Butler wears a lot of hats, like not literal hats, but my dude is an astronomer, a scientist, a magician. Like,
an engineer.
He's just like, he's a man who wears a lot of hats, and the machine doesn't work, and then he reveals that he's gang affiliated. Like, my dude's hardcore. He was rolling with Team Magma.
Well, he tried to join them, and then they laughed at him, and for good reason. I mean, he did almost kill everybody.
I think it blew up in his face.
Well, it blew up in his face when he demonstrated the Team Magma, but then, like, later on in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
His goals are definitely nefarious, but, I mean, I guess Magma wouldn't be opposed to nefarious goals. Anyway, So Jirachi doesn't want to grant wishes to this guy because he seems like a big old jerk, but
bigger jerk than Jirachi. That's hard to do.
I don't think that scene makes a whole lot of sense. It, like, the things that Jirachi is saying, just, I don't know. The torture scene doesn't make sense to me. Jirachi gets tortured and is in physical agony. Apparently he has to fight off, like, the machine.
Something. Yeah.
I think that's stupid. But that could summarize the entire movie. So Absol has to watch as Jirachi is in pain, trying to resist. But Jirachi's power destroys the machine. And, so the gang tries to rescue Jirachi, and Butler's assistant, Diane, helps them escape on the bus that they came on. And then a mighty Enna chases down the bus, which is really impressive. That's an impressive feat for a dog to pull off, chasing down a bus. And yeah, from there, we have a montage of them running away. Or is that not yet?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not sure.
This
either.
Movie was kind of a blur until the end.
Okay, I got this figured out.
Yeah.
Oh. So Mighty Enna chases down the bus, and then they go over like a rough patch in the road, and then we have a really jarring transition to them at like a camp at night, and May is doing her Wishmaker, and it's just really off-putting.
That's why I was confused, because I couldn't pay attention, because the movie had more ADHD than anybody humanly possible does.
And then Butler looks off at the moon or whatever, and he's like, it's time. But it's not time, because it's like, he doesn't even do what he's setting out to do for like another week or, you know, a couple days. So no, it is not time, Butler.
No, if you watch the end of the movie, that is, he's probably spending days out there getting stuff ready.
Yeah. Yeah, but how did he get there before them if he didn't even have a vehicle? Maybe he flew. I guess he probably flew.
How Butler got there?
Yeah.
I was looking at the Boopedia, and I think he ejects a blimp-like device from his van, apparently to follow them.
Okay, I guess I missed that part. My eyes must have glazed over.
I don't remember seeing it either.
Maybe they cut that out of the Western version.
They may have. I don't remember.
Either way, he has a Salamence.
Yeah, he does.
So yeah, and that's a pretty quick poke. So that's not too... That doesn't scratch credulity too far. So Diane explains about how she and Butler have been together forever. And Butler is just like... He used to be a good guy. And then after his failure, he's become obsessed with proving like that he's legitimate. And he's become really obsessed with the whole Jirachi deal. And then we get the 80s montage that has, it's 80s montage, sax and all.
Yep.
Like, they get stuck, like, the bus gets stuck on a hill at one point, it's all muddy, and, like, days pass. Like, this is a really, really long chase sequence.
Yeah, like, 2 days of driving.
Yeah.
And then the third day, they get to the place. Why?
And then Max starts having trouble with Jirachi leaving. He's like, I don't want Jirachi to go. And then Ash, in all of his infinite wisdom, gives a speech about letting go of those that you care about. And like,
and in the dub, they force in Pokey shipping with Ash mentioning Misty.
A name drop. Or not a name drop, but like a reference there.
Yeah. It's only in the dub. It's only in the dub. It's not.
If that's really Pokey shipping, if it's just, this is a friend of mine.
It's just a reference, I think, really.
Pokey shipping. Yeah. Pokey shipping.
So they make their way to Jirachi's home, which is a forest, which is such an original setting for these movies. What a distinct location. I remember everything about it. Totally unique, unheard of before in the series to have a forest as a location. I'm truly amazed by the scope of this film.
Remember the last time there was a forest in the movie? That was probably the best movie.
Yeah, forests don't bode well in this franchise. Just avoid them altogether.
Why?
So there's more bonding between Max and Jirachi, and more terrible singing, or half singing, and so it's like, oh, it's the night, it's time, and they go into the cave, and Jirachi falls asleep, and it turns out that Jirachi's actually a seed of life for this region, and if it doesn't do this, then everything will die, because like it feeds off of its energy, but yeah. That doesn't make any sense, because like wouldn't in 1,000 years couldn't more life just go into this region? Like, it's Jirachi's no. role in this ecosystem makes no sense to me at all.
It's not an ecosystem, it's if it's based off like some ancient generator that just exists there.
Well,
it's literally like as artificial as you can get without being artificial.
I don't think that's a terribly good explanation of anything. Like, this movie is dumb. Why would it do this?
This is a really bad movie.
It is. But the four, whatever they are, Farina, whatever it's called, that's where Jirachi was found. And so, essentially, it makes sense for it to at least be there. And yeah. I don't know why it generates life. I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with anything. It doesn't have a strong enough power to grant wishes. Like, it teleports stuff. So I guess teleportation makes it able to give life. I don't know.
Jirachi, life giver.
It teleports life from other things.
Yep. It just steals life. For all we know, it's actually sapping the life of Ashiko as we speak.
And they're only immune.
It's Grim Reaper.
They're only immune because they're immortal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
So, oh no, it's a trap. And Jirachi is captured by Butler. And Butler is still, like, riding this magician thing really hard, even though his evil plan has already been hatched.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He's still committed, and I respect that to a degree. Like, if you're gonna commit, you know? And, He's like, magician saves his best track for best...
Trick for last.
Yes, thank you. So there's this, like, really agonizingly long sequence with the new machine, which is absolutely gigantic, by the way. And I don't know how he had time to fabricate this machine in, like, the couple days that he had.
He probably just had to assemble it there, you know?
I guess.
Yeah.
Which is impressive for one person to do. Do you think he was still doing magician stuff there? Like, do you think he's just alone and he'll be like, and for my next trick, I'm going to eat this toast? And
okay, so, like, it's one of those fake it till you make it type things, you know what I mean? Like, of course. He was probably, like, a scientist, and he's like, you know what, the best way to, like, cover up my ambitions now is to be a magician, right? And so, like, he doesn't think he's a magician at first, but, like, you know, after, like, about 6-7 years of, like, being a magician...
Well, no,
it's just, like, so ingrained in his personality that he is a magician.
No, he already actually was a magician from the very, very beginning. Because when they show the flashback between him and Diane or whatever, he's doing
true.
Magic. Yeah. So he's been a magician for his whole life.
He's a magician slash scientist. This is awful.
I don't get why.
It's not physically possible to do all these things.
It takes 10,000 hours to get good at anything. So, you know, he's just getting all those hours in.
Apparently, like...
So, we got another sequence of trees dying in my Pokemon movies. Jirachi's power is, like, sapping life from the region. You know, because it's all returning to Jirachi. So, you know, more environmental destruction in my Pokemon movies. Then Groudon comes to life. Is this starting to sound familiar? Is this, like, sounding like something you might have seen before?
No. I don't think they reuse plots in Pokemon movies.
And then the forest starts getting lit on fire and more environmental destruction. I have written in my notes Diane dies, but I don't think that's what happens.
So for unexplained reasons, this Groudon that he resurrects can just suck up people with these like tentacles that it has, and
it's not even a Groudon. It's just some failed abomination.
Yeah, well, yes. Like, okay, it's got these powers that it shouldn't have and are very unexplained. It's another thing of, like, poor writing. It's just like, oh, we need to make danger happen. And it's literally just, like, these tentacles that come out and want to eat you. Uh-huh. And so, like, it ends up eating a lot of Pokemon. Then it eats Diane, and then Diane says the the like cheesiest love line where it's just like, if this is the end, I'm happy that the last thing I saw was you, my love.
And
it's
even just though like, you're a horrible monster now.
Even though you're a horrible monster and you did this to me. And then he's just like, and then our friend Butler is just like, I'm going to have the biggest 180 and I'm going to backpedal so hard right now.
Just backpedal like Mach 8.
Yeah, like, right?
My actions have consequences. Who could have guessed?
Also, let's take a moment to just like mention all of the Flygon fan service.
Yeah, I as a Flygon fan, I was pretty pleased by the amount of representation in this movie.
There's a lot of Flygon fan service in this movie.
They use Flygon and Salamence to fly around the Groudon and like scope everything out. So they have to go turn off the machine, and Butler is their buddy now. Oh, so they take Butler to the machine, and he's like, I'm going to flip this rock around and then that'll fix everything, which is not, doesn't seem right to me.
He's just like, I'm going to reverse the polarity. And so I'm like, oh, that makes sense. If you just like hit some buttons on the computer, I would have been perfectly satisfied. But he takes the rock and he flips it backwards. And I'm just like, no.
Well, first he drops it and then Ash catches it with Salamence.
Flygon. It's Flygon love.
And then he gives him a thumbs up, which is stupid. Because stop, please.
Yeah. Stop.
I'm still not convinced that flipping around would do anything, really. Is it going to reverse what happened?
I think that's the idea. It's like, a lot of people say reverse the polarity of a lot of things. It's like the favorite, like, science-y terms to say, but it doesn't, I don't know the specifics of how this machine works.
Reverse the polarity on those shields.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like my favorite part. I don't know, like, if we've gotten to it yet or if it just happened before. But when he's running to flip the switch, like pull the lever.
You're getting mic crackling on your end there.
Oh. I don't.
You're fine now.
Okay.
Yeah,
like when he's pulling the levers. Like,
oh, there it is again. Are you like right up on your mic?
Better?
Can you try talking for me?
Okay, I'll try talking.
Let me turn it on, turn it off,
or let me just reset it.
Oh man, things have been going so smooth.
Oh, we're almost done.
We're almost there, yeah. This is going really well, by the way, guys. Thank you for...
Is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, go for it.
Alright. But, like, the part I found with, like, my favorite, kind of stupidest, was when he just, like, they have this whole scene with Butler pulling the switches. Like, why the fear? Actually, like, flying around on a Flygon, dodging stuff. I'd rather see action than seeing Butler run to a lever, pull it, and, like, it's, like, a minute and a half of him just pulling these levers.
It's like Halo 4.
Like, why do we need this?
Halo 4 is nothing but pulling levers and pushing buttons. Like, they stop the machine, and everything's totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, everything's resolved. Butler doesn't have to go to prison. Even though he did untold amounts of environmental damage, and threatened the lives of these actual children, but everything's okay.
Jirachi sent Groudon to space.
Yep. Turns out that's the
pretty much what happened.
Max is the true wishmaker. Wow. I'm so moved.
I'm not. I feel like both Max and Jirachi just were not doing anything productive in this movie.
Yeah. Basically, Max and Jirachi were big old jerks together the entire time, and I'm supposed to be sad when they're separated.
I was not sad at all.
The only good can come from this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the horrible chorus version of the lullaby. I can't think of a bigger misplay in a movie that I've seen in my entire life. Like, what a horribly misguided plot element to have, you know? Right?
And the thing is, they used, like, the voices. So you hear, like, Max's voice doing, like, the dudes, and it's horrible.
Yep.
It's horrendous. Maze was okay. Like, it wasn't horrible. Like, Ash and Brock, okay, it's getting bad. And then Max chimed in, and it's like,
yep.
My ears are bleeding. Just chop them off, please. End my suffering.
So, they try to reach for high notes while doing doos. Like, they're going for it. Like, they're going 100% committed to going for all of these notes, which is not what the do exists for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to try to reach those higher octaves when you're doing. So, yeah, total misplay. Absolute garbage. And Team Rocket learns a lesson, even though they didn't really get much to do, which is fine. The less Team Rocket, the better. And Butler is free to go after his terrorist act. They give him a ride back to town. We get more doing. And then that's it, right? And then we get the credits.
And yeah. Then we actually hear the lyrics to the song.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so terrible. Yeah, they play like a vocal version of the song after, during the credits. And it's just over
it's
top
horrendous.
Of looking. Or not the credits?
It's the credits, but the song's not that bad, to be honest. When you actually hear the lyrics and the actual person singing it.
But I have such a gut reaction to that, like, those notes that I
can't
process it as being anything good. It just makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
Still to this day, like, just humming those bars there was really, really rough. And, also, isn't it the Japanese version of the song in the credits?
This is the first time, and then the Japanese.
Yeah.
Huh.
They have it two halves of the song. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
And that's it. You get some video of antics and the crew looking out over the ocean, even though we were never at the ocean.
Never close to an ocean.
But whatever. That's that movie. Good God.
Oh God, I'm so happy this is over.
What was I going to say earlier? I was talking about, was it The Rock?
Oh, yes, The Rock, yes. The Jirachi going back to The Rock.
Yeah, so what I assume is because Butler and Diane found Jirachi in Fiora, and I assume it was underground, and in the ending, they show Jirachi returning to the ground as this rock, going whoever knows somewhere in Fiora. So I assume it was just to disguise itself, really.
Yeah, probably like or a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
But what if he wakes up underground? I guess he could teleport. Probably really scared, though, if he woke up like under 30 feet of dirt. And he's like,
What might happen is how, because it went underground, it literally just like ripple and it fades through the ground. That's probably how it pops back up again.
So it returns to the ground?
Yeah. At the very end, like when they say goodbye, it's like the rock, like the rock flows to the ground and it's like it just ripples and it just goes in the ground. It doesn't even like make a hole, it's just like boom, it's part of the ground.
So I think we've covered the plot pretty well. Do we just want to talk about what we think about this movie, if you want to start that?
This is an awful movie. Absolutely awful.
There's
just so many disconnects in the plot. Like It was really hard to follow. And I mean, like, as a kid, I probably would have been like, oh man, my favorite Pokemon, da 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 da. And I don't think I actually ever saw this movie when it came out. I think I saw it much later after the fact.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay, this is actually a really awful movie. I think the first time I watched it, it was actually, we did an episode on this movie, I think, a really long time ago.
Yep, we did.
And that was probably the first time I actually watched this movie was when I was in my, like, 20s. And I did not think it was a good movie then either. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I remember when I was listening to that episode way back when, like, you had this, you guys were really, really unpleased with this movie, or displeased rather. It's really bad. Which gave me incentive to watch it.
And then you were also disappointed.
I don't know if I was disappointed, if I was expecting terrible stuff.
I think this is the low point of Pokemon movies.
Easily so far. This is easily the worst one so far.
Well, I think the next one's better, but I'm not saying much better.
That's
the Deoxys next.
It's probably worse.
I don't think it's worse than that. I think
it's got a place. Like it's got like a setting.
Yeah.
It's got a setting, and the difference is, I think with that movie, there's at least I think there's actually a real story there.
Well,
as opposed to this one where it's just like, oh man, we went on a journey for 7 days and we should have made the movie more about the journey, but we didn't.
I'm just remembering the white hair kid, and that's just like
the stupid. Oh, and not the, and also the fact that apparently all alien life's a Pokemon.
Yeah.
But yeah. Whatever.
So you didn't like it, Thatch, is what I'm getting.
Okay, I'm not saying it was good. I mean, like, when you're comparing, I was about to say some very vulgar things. When you compare this movie to anything else, like, it's of course better. I mean, I'm actually a really big fan of the eighth movie, in all honesty.
I think the eighth movie is probably, like, the best one since, like,
Lucario one?
Yeah, the Lucario one's definitely
the best. I
like
that one, too. I'm pretty excited.
I think that one, that one came with the Mirage, the Pokemon Mirage thing.
Yep.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Mirage thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it's called. I have it.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
So, Shamu, what did you think of this movie?
Well, I guess we could kind of sum it up with a few do's.
we'll end the episode on do's. So you didn't like it.
I don't really care. As a movie, as entertainment, it's fine. But, like, if you're going to go, like, to the plot and all that, it didn't make sense.
Something in the background, it's fine.
It's got Salamence in it and Flygon.
It's good. It's essentially a decent, like, third-gen fan service. Like, hey, we have a Groudon, like, fake mm-hmm. Groudon, air quotes, whatever.
It's got May in Salamence. It.
You're the dragon. Here's people. Here's
also, this is the only Gen 3 movie that does not have a Gen 4 Pokemon in it. Fun fact. Every other, because like Gen 4 was like hyped really early on.
Oh yeah.
During Gen 3, and so like it was, so it just starts next. It starts next movie.
So like this is the only one where the generation really gets room to breathe.
Yeah, honestly. yeah, pretty much.
Next one we get Munchlax.
Yeah, you get Munchlax, and the one after that's Lucario.
Yeah, Lucario and Weavile.
Yeah, and then the one after, and you get Mime Jr. and some other stuff in there. But then you also get in the fifth, or in the one after that, still a Gen 3 movie. The ninth movie is still a Gen 3 movie. And that's got Manaphy and stuff in it. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, is that the Pokemon Ranger one?
Yeah, that's the Pokemon Ranger.
Oh, God.
That's the one where Ash goes Super Saiyan.
I don't even remember that movie. Oh, goodness.
It was like, I think a spinoff. Is that technically the ninth movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's actually the ninth movie.
Yeah, that's the ninth movie.
I thought it was a spinoff movie.
Nope.
Oh.
So.
Either way.
this movie's terrible.
Yeah, not good.
I don't like it. No. I think it's it's bad as a movie, but it's also bad as a Pokemon movie.
Yeah,
like,
no,
the fan service is there, but, like, it just stretches credulity so far in terms of character action, and it's really hard to care about anything when nobody's actions make any sense, and Max is an irredeemable jerk who I'm supposed to, it's the movie's telling me that I'm supposed to care about Max when I very much do not. As a matter of fact, I actively dislike him as a character.
That's a true statement. That's fair.
So
5 out of 10 dudes.
I think that does it for this episode of Punkle Movie Club. From Lavender Town Radio Tower, I don't know. I still have no idea how I end this show. I'll end it on a non sequitur. but I think I know how it has to end this week, which is do 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 do. I don't even remember it. Like, they put so much focus on it, and I don't even remember what it was. That's not even the same song.
No, it's something else. Some rock in there.
Yeah, some power ballads. Power ballads in my Pokemon movies. Main. The heavy metal cover version. I want a soundtrack for this movie that's nothing but covers of that song. The EDM version.
Oh my god.
Like, you know, you get heavy bass line going, and then the Nightcore remix. Okay, yeah, that's it. I've been Ethan.
I've been Thatch.
I guess I've been Shamu.
And I guess it's closing time. Do-do-do-do-do. Thank you.
goodbyes. It's closing time. Farewell, my friends. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.